Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us here in the darkness on the edge of town for another look at the paranormal. And wanted to make a few other quick mentions here before we get to our guests for the evening. First off, we have got 7 tickets available right now for the Stanley event that takes place March 29th through April 1st. If you're interested in attending that event, that has Jason Grant, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. It's got the whole lineup there. John Zaffis, Adam Bly, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Mark Macy, Jay Allen Danilek. You've got a great lineup of speakers. We're going to do a fantastic investigation, have a lot of fun. You get 2 meals included in the price of your ticket. I only have 7 tickets that have become available, period. So if you want those tickets, email me right away at dave@darknessradio.com. Even if you're listening to the archived version of the show, sometimes people will think, oh, there's no way I'm going to get through. I won't even try. These tickets may still be available. So give us an email at dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll be able to hook you up, hopefully, with another ticket, and you can join us out there in Colorado at Estes Park in the Stanley Hotel, which, again, is where Stephen King got the inspiration for the book The Shining and the movie The Shining. So we're going to just make those tickets available. We do have tickets for the expansion trip, which takes place April 1st through April 4th. So if you want that. And then we do have tickets available still for Eastern State Penitentiary. And that is one of the most hotly contested episodes of Ghost Hunters, where they caught that creepy shadow thing that looked to appear to come towards the camera, then turn around on itself and take off. We're going to be going exactly to that location with our listeners, Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters and Steve Gonzalez from Ghost Hunters. We've got Lloyd Auerbach, the professor of the paranormal, John Zaffis. We've got Adam Bly. We've got a great lineup for that one, Tim. I mean, we've got a lot of great speakers that are going to be in town for the Eastern State Penitentiary trip. Tim and I will be there.
That's not a draw.
Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah, sure it
Nobody
is.
Nobody wants to see us.
You're the Tim.
Oh, no, don't give me a nickname like that. No. Just call me Goober.
Tim is picking up, he's going to be putting together a great game for us at these events. We're going to be doing, is it EVP or not? So you'll be listening to some homemade EVPs and some real EVPs, and we'll be having you test your knowledge of EVP technology. Real quick, before we get into the show, I do have a special guest on the line with us, and I'd like to bring him on the line right now. For those of you that have tuned in the past, you know that Tim and I have kind of a strange stance on psychics and mediums, whereas we do believe that there are some really good psychics and mediums out there. You have a lot of goofs and loons out there as well. There's only 3 that we professionally back with our radio show, and I'm proud to introduce Mr. Robert Baca back to the darkness on the edge of town. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, Dave. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Hey, I wanted to bring you back on the show tonight for just a couple minutes here.
Sure.
Let everybody know, in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul area, you're going to be with the Learning Annex this Thursday doing a live presentation and gallery reading, correct?
Right, an educational gallery.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you do on these galleries.
Well, at the educational galleries that I conduct together, I teach people how to tap into their own psychic abilities and how to develop them, how to be more aware of the sensitive energy fields around them, day in and day out around them. Also, to interpret spiritual signs from their angel guides, their spirit guides, their loved ones. And at the same time, I will personally be answering personal questions and reading people and delivering messages at this gallery.
So you work very much like John Edward.
Yes, I do. Yes, and that's what I've been told.
Now, I will say this, Robert, and I just want people to know this, because, again, Tim and I stand behind just a few people, and you are you know, you are right in the top there of the people that we endorse for, you know, being a professional medium. People can check out your information by going at voicesfromheaven.com, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And that shows an update of where you're going to be, and it gives you listings?
Yes, matter of fact, they need to click under the appearances page, and there's a link to the Learning Annex registration.
Okay, great.
For this class, mm-hmm. and or they can simply also call my office, which is at 515-278-5033 for any questions or to schedule a private reading at that time when I'm there.
Now, I want to tell everybody that's listening, when we met Robert, we had him do a little audition for us, and this is before our show even launched. He didn't know I had a co-host with me, Tim, and we had Robert was going to do a reading for me, and at the last second I said, oh, by the way, my co-host Tim is here. And he said, oh, hi, Tim. Nice to meet you. Hey, Tim. And he launched into this unbelievable reading. So many of the psychics I've worried, you know, they can look up information on you on the internet. I mean, it's such a quick way, but there was no way for Robert to look up information. I didn't even give him Tim's last name. I just said my co-host Tim is here. He launched into an amazing reading for Tim that Tim and I both sat there with our jaws open for the entire time. Then when we got to go out and meet Robert in person, I went up to him and I said, Robert, I have an idea for a live Halloween show. We want to take you to a haunted location we know of. And suddenly Robert launched into a full reading telling me about the place in detail. All I said was it was a haunted location. I didn't say a building, a cemetery, anything. He exactly described this Victorian-style mansion that we were going to go to. And he kept repeating yellow and white. I walked around the corner and called the owner. They had just painted the house yellow and white. I've seen you at doing your live events at like the Health Body Spirit Expo here.
Right,
I think
right.
It was last
the
year.
Life Expo up there.
That was crazy. He was doing a large gallery reading, and he was getting this. He was being pulled to the back of the room for three murder victims, and he was very sure. And it was one of those kind of awkward moments when nobody was saying anything, and you start to wonder, is the psychic? When suddenly the woman at the booth behind, who was actually there selling stuff. Robert said, Dave, go over and ask that woman if this is her. So I walked over, and when she got done making her pitch, I said, excuse me, the medium up there is pulling in, and he has three people with him, three people that were murdered in what he believes was a drug deal gone bad. And this girl's jaw hit the ground, and she turned and looked at Robert, and he said, do you understand what this means? And she said, yes. And he goes, do you want to talk about it, or would you rather talk later? And she said, I'd like to talk later. And he said, that's fine. He pulled away, and then she told me the story, and it was amazing because exactly the wounds that he had claimed 5 minutes earlier when she wasn't paying attention were the wounds that took these people's lives. So, Robert, you've blown Tim and I away. We're very impressed with you, and I hope that people will come out and give you a chance to experience what you can do and show the healing and the connections that you're able to do with your live events.
Well, thank you, and I hope I can be accessible to as many people as possible.
Right, we're going to have you back on the show here in the future. We want to have you on to do more readings again.
Oh,
okay?
Absolutely, and Dave, if I would like to extend a invitation to you and Tim both to this educational gallery event.
Excellent, we will be there.
Okay.
You can count on it.
Well, love and peace and grace to everybody out there.
Thank you very much, Robert. And on your site, does it show other people that are, you know, your other events that you're going to be doing?
They can click on, like, once again, voicesfromheaven.com. They can click it. They can read the old guest book.
Okay.
And there's people from all over the globe that I personally read over doing phone readings, people that I've read in person, people over the internet. You know, that have made a statement of their testimonials. But I have it up there for inspiration and in touching purposes for people from all walks of life.
Great. Well, Robert, thank you very much. Good luck, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Well, thanks a lot, Dave, and I'll see you guys as well. God bless.
Great. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be going out with our first speaker this evening, Brad Steiger. So please stay with us here in the darkness on the edge of town. We'll be back with more. Right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You may have been to the Stanley Hotel before. You may have even taken the ghost tour offered at that famous hotel in Estes Park. But have you ever truly investigated the paranormal there before? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to do so with Sci-Fi TV's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson? Well, now you can. Join us for our paranormal retreat April 1st through the 4th at the historic Stanley Hotel. To find out more about this great adventure, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Hurry, spots are limited and they will fill quickly. That's darknessevents.com.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for coming back and joining us here. And remember, if you want to see Robert Baca live, it's an amazing event. I'd recommend you go check it out. Go to his website at voicesfromheaven.com. Click on the upcoming events, and then you can see him live and in person do his readings. Right now, though, we're going to welcome our guest for the evening, and our guest is Brad Steiger. He's the author and co-author, Tim, of over 162 books. There's over 17 million copies of his books in print. Some of the titles dealing with the paranormal are Mysteries of Time and Space, The Source, A Journey Through the Unexplained, The Werewolf Book, An Encyclopedia of Shapeshifting Beings, Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, Haunted Places, The Gale Encyclopedia of the Unusual and Unexplained. He's done books on spirituality, on UFO research, conspiracy. It's amazing to have him on the show. I can't tell you how excited I was to be able to lock him in. We want to thank our friends from Fate Magazine, Phyllis Galdi, who was able to help us get Mr. Steiger on this evening. And I'd like to welcome you to The Darkness on the Edge of Town this evening, sir.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, it's great having you with us. Boy, you've got such a plethora of topics that you've covered in just about every source of the paranormal that you can talk about. Can you start us off a little bit in the back here, Brad? What got you involved in the paranormal? What was your initial aha moment that led you to start a life of research in this field?
It goes all the way back to my childhood. We lived in what one would call a haunted house, I suppose.
Okay.
We had phenomena going on. We had individuals walking about whom I didn't recognize until much later when I saw that it was the image of my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, who were the original settlers. Our home had been the stagecoach stop in the area. And I think it was just charged with a lot of psychic energy.
So was it more of the residual type hauntings that you were dealing with then?
It was residual, and at the same time, looking back, you know, I think some of it was reflexive. It was certainly psychokinetic. There were certainly, objects moving, doors opening and closing, but I think it was primarily residual.
Okay.
And that's the theory that I used when I was young and knew everything.
Right. Now, if I could ask, these specters or ghosts that you saw, were they transparent? Were they solid beings? Was it almost
solid.
Like you were just, okay, so it was perfectly solid, but they didn't acknowledge you or see you? They just were going about their normal business?
They were watching me.
Oh, they were watching you. Okay.
And that's why I think I had the attitude from an early age, you know, that they're not to be feared, these entities, these beings. And then I had, an encounter with an elfin-type being when I was a young boy. It was very clear. He was watching my parents through the kitchen window, and I was watching him through my bedroom window.
What? No.
That moment when he turned to look at me, you know, that's when I knew we're not alone. We're not alone.
Now, help me understand this. We just had Rosemary Ellen Guiley on, and she was talking about fairies and gnomes and things like that. Now, you saw, explain this to us, you saw what staring in through your windows?
It would be what we would commonly call an elf.
Okay.
The fairy, they, according to tradition, they don't really like that name.
Okay.
They like the she.
Right.
Like banshee, only she. Whatever these entities were, I mean, it was astonishing. I will never, ever.
Well, can you explain to us now, what does this look like? I mean, how tall was this creature?
This was a small... All right, I'll start at the beginning, which
sure.
I guess one should.
Right.
I was simply... I've always been a night person.
Right.
I've never... I mean, my mother acknowledged, that putting me to bed meant just putting me in a room because I... And even now, people say, how have you written so many books? Well, part of it is I don't sleep very much, my mind stays active. So it was the same when I was a child. And I heard... I grew up in the country.
Okay.
For someone in the city to hear someone walking around after, as a child, you've been put in bed, that would be no big deal.
Right.
But when you live out in the country, and the nearest neighbor is quite some distance away, it was fall, it was October, there were leaves. First I heard someone walking in the leaves, then I heard a wash tub being dragged over to the kitchen window, and then I looked out and I saw this smallish being standing on his tiptoes looking at my parents. We didn't have electricity yet, it was kerosene lamp, and he was studying them very closely, and then he seemed to, like when you stare at the back of someone's head, he seemed to sense or feel, or maybe he was there for me to see from the beginning. But as I said, when he turned to look at me and we had that eye contact, it was it stays with me.
Well, no doubt.
Forever.
Yeah, I would Forever. Assume that would be. Now, is that the only type of fairy type creature that you've ever seen yourself?
We're kind of bothered with them regularly. The Nissa, as we call them, being from the Scandinavian tradition. I had a near-death experience when I was 11, and that certainly really set me on the path, to leave the body, to feel I was dying, to be going up and seeing my body down below, and then seeing what, is indescribable. It was a series of geometric designs and patterns.
Now, that's interesting to me. Explain that a little bit more. This was in your near-death experience. You saw these geometric patterns?
I've only talked to a few people who have seen those.
Because I'll tell you what, if I could mention to you, maybe you could shed a little light on this. When I was younger, and this is a vivid memory that I've had that I haven't mentioned this to just about anybody because I always felt like a fool for even talking about this. I used to have what I almost call like a nightmare just as I was falling asleep. I would start to see geometric patterns that would begin slowly moving, and then they would start racing at me at unbelievable speeds, and it would scare the living hell out of me. And I would wake up, and, how do you tell people I was afraid of shapes?
No.
I was being attacked by the letter A,
No, as you may know, I've been distributing this questionnaire since 1967, and over 40,000 people in all over the world have responded to it. You would be astonished how common that experience that you just related is for children. Just as they're falling asleep to see these geometric patterns racing at them, scaring the bejabbers out of them.
Now, my parents always believed that it was just because I was too young to really have nightmares. I mean, you know, what's a 3 or 4 or 5 year old going to have a nightmare about? You know, I mean, they didn't let me watch scary things. You know, I was exposed to Disney, and that's about the scariest stuff we had. You know, their idea was that it was just this overwhelming kind of overstimulation kind of thing that was going on that used to freak me out. But I can't even tell you that terror sensation. No. It wasn't just overstimulation. It was frightening.
I've heard it from so many. In my opinion, that was an activating incident for you. That was something that turned on the switch.
Okay.
And opened you at that time.
What do you believe that was occurring to me at that point then? What was this geometric pattern that was blasting at me so fast? I mean, what was that something? I mean, were we talking the Matrix here? Or were we, you know, am I plugged into something else and this is what's coming at us? I still don't know how to wrap my head around what it was I experienced.
I wish I could be more definitive. All I can do is share the experience I had and the experience now, according to the questionnaire, thousands of people have had. Especially in childhood, seeing these geometric designs racing at them. Sherry, my wife, had them as a child. She would see them when she remembers just, you know, lying, not a baby crib, but, you know, the crib that you will put small children into with the walls up around it.
Oh, right, right, little cradles and things like
yeah.
that. Right, okay.
But she would see them racing at her. And it's astonishing how many people in the questionnaire make mention of the geometric shapes that raced at them when they were just falling asleep and frightened them until they learned. But I call that an activating incident, which happens to people around the age of 5. Now, that's around the age of 5.
Right.
Being precise.
Mm-hmm.
There is another incident around the age of 11, which may take the place of an accident, a serious illness, divorce in the family, something that causes the child to withdraw for a period of time. And at about that same time, very often, there is an entity that appears. Now, depending on their orientation, their cultural biases, this may appear as you know, quote, unquote, a holy figure. It may appear as an elf, it may appear as something from the spirit world, maybe a deceased loved one, but it will be an entity that essentially tells the child and lays out a mission or a path in life. Now, the child might not be able to articulate it, but that's when it seems this transference, first the activation around the age of 5, then at age 11, and then, you know, the path is set, the die is set. And the questionnaire has been filled out now by nurses and doctors and college professors and psychologists and engineers at NASA and et cetera, et cetera. You have over 40,000 people. You know, there's no definitive answers yet because we're building a pattern. We're trying to put together a pattern profile.
Right.
And this is available, of course, on our website. Anyone can fill it out. And send it in by email. It's astonishing. And that we've had, first, you know, we started with, well, you know, everyone, St. Pat's Day is coming up. So many happy St. Patrick's Day. That's the wonderful thing in America.
Tipping one too many green beers, is that what you're saying?
but on the 17th, we can all be Irish.
That's right.
On this date, we can all be Jewish, and this date, we can all be Scandinavians or whatever, depending on the holiday. But, you know, you begin with this. People say, you know, the Irish, they're well, yeah, but we found out... It's across the board.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one ethnic group that has a greater tendency than another. It depends, again, on the individual. They have these activating incidents. And so often, just what you've described, these geometric patterns. Now, what they told me, because I'm 11 years old, and this is my accident, my death experience, near-death experience, happens on my parents' anniversary. Mm. We're going out for that rare night to a restaurant to eat. And I was in a terrible farm accident. I was above the body. I didn't want to die. I wanted, you know, I wanted to be with my mother. I wanted to be with my friends. Now, the minute I thought of my friends, wherever they were, I was beside them. And then these geometric designs appeared. And suddenly, it's all right. You know, if I die, the world is going to continue. If I die, history will go on. But the thing that I saw, and I saw it so clearly, I cannot put it into words, but with an ineffable experience that told me there is a pattern, a purpose, and a meaning to life. Now that, at age 11, that set me on the path. That set me, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to share that the spirit is eternal. I'm supposed to share that we're not alone in the universe. I'm supposed to share that we can be so much more than our technologies and our priesthoods tell us that we can be.
Well, now, you've said that you've come, when you started coming across the spirit world, you knew it was nothing to be afraid of. Have you ever had one of those moments where you were afraid because of something that you were experiencing with the spirit world?
Well, I told you when I was, you know, had these theories, it's all residual. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that when I began actively investigating haunted, so-called haunted houses, you know, sometimes it's a squirrel in the attic or the plumbing or whatever, and right. Then there's the genuine instances. But in each case, it seemed to be residual. It was something, and I'm sure you probably, since you used the word residual, you know, we're talking about the same
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, right.
Is that somehow energy is impressed in an environment.
Right.
And somehow people of the similar telepathic affinity enter it, they're able to see the scene as just restored, as if they're seeing the past. Now, to me, everything fit that. And as I said, I know I'm 30 years old, so I'm comfortable. Well, then we were called to a home where a series of murders had taken place. And according to the people who lived there at that time, blood was coming out of the walls, entities were coming, and again, of course, I go, this is all residual. Well, I angered whatever it was. I angered the intelligence with my arrogance to the point where it blew the door off hinges of the room and lifted us all in the air. I had an instant revision of my philosophy. That was a seminal moment in my development.
Brad, how does one go about evoking something that angrily to have it blow its, you know, blow the doors off the hinges and knock everybody off their feet? What were you doing to stimulate this?
Well, a series of terrible murders had been committed.
Right.
And they followed the same pattern. And just very briefly, in each case, a husband had murdered his wife by blowing her apart with a 12-gauge shotgun. First, it took place in the basement, then it took place another one. You know, the house sat empty for a long time because this is a small town. No one wanted to live in the death house.
Right.
And then it happened in the garage when someone finally lived there. Then the house sat empty, and a trenchant was found in the basement, you know, with his heart cut out. All these things were happening. Well,
wow.
Now a family moves into this, and they are having a terrible time. But, of course, I come with, you know, my squad and confident, you know, that we're going to, whatever this energy is, we're going to dissipate it, and we're going to restore peace and calm and quiet and tranquility to the home. And while I was in this room, the door kept closing on me. The door kept closing. Now, my friends with me, they're big husky guys. One was a former Green Beret. And I finally, when I left the room after picking up impressions and recordings and so forth, I said, all right, if the blankety-blank thing wants the blankety-blank door closed, so blankety-blank much, close the door and lock it. Then we walked upstairs, and we were barely upstairs, and there was this violent explosion. The door just blew off the hinges. Then we heard what sounded like King Kong coming up the stairs, and then we were all lifted into the air and dropped. That's when I had to revise. I had to accept, not always is it residual.
Right.
I had to accept an intelligence that I could anger with my arrogance, and an intelligence that could seek retribution.
So do you recommend people should evoke spirits like that? Do you think that
that's... No way.
Well, I know a lot of people want to do that on paranormal investigations. I've never understood that. I'd much rather be polite and friendly and have it come up and kiss me on the cheek than say something nasty and have it kick me in the ass. You know, I mean, that's what my theory's been. So.
I hope I made clear.
Sure.
This was when I was, you know, I had already written at least two or three books on experiences and haunted houses and so forth. I was already considered an expert and authority, so the police would call me in and so forth. And I had everything very neatly wrapped up. The concept that, you know, there could be a spiritual parasite that could actually possess a home, that could actually create and cause murders, I mean, this to me was medieval primitive thinking until, you know, it happened to me.
Right.
And then, you know, and I think that's probably, I mean, I've written books, all these books, and I get wonderful emails and wonderful letters and people who have read my books going all the way back to the 60s. I think some people can read and say, ooh, that gave me a chill and I believe it. But I think for so many people, don't you agree, they actually have to have the experience.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, you know, we've talked about it on the show, you know, your interest in the UFO as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed, I'm not arrogant to believe that there's this amazing universe out there and that we're the only planet that would sustain life. And I've always given away to that fact. But we went out to the Yosetti Ranch out in Trout Lake, Washington. And I popped up on James Gilliland one day, just said, hey, I'm in town. I'd like to come out and see your UFOs. And I figured I'd kind of catch him off balance by not letting him know that I was coming. And went out there and... had experiences of my own, saw things that there's just no explanation for,
mm-hmm.
and it leaves you just sitting back going, oh my God, my life is different now. I thought that I knew that this stuff was out there, but now that I've seen it, I don't know how to you know, straighten it out in my life yet. I mean, it's been, what, Tim, are we looking at maybe about 5 months since the experience I had out at the ranch?
About that, yeah.
Five months, and I still can't get my head around it.
Let me tell you a synchronicity.
Sure.
I have before me that just arrived James Gillian's new book, Becoming Gods 2, in which he's asked me for a blurb for the back cover.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Have you been out to his ranch yet?
No, but of course we communicate, and he's told me about it, and I have had these experiences, so I know what's happening there. He tells me with great excitement. But, I mean, you mentioned his name, and that has just come in from Aaron at the ranch asking if I will give a blurb for the back cover of James's new book. So,
well,
I mean,
you know what? I'd like to extend you the invitation then. We're trying to put together an event with James to we go out with our listeners, and we bring between 100 to 250 listeners to places to investigate. And I'm working with James to try to find a place and a time to come out to his ranch and do an investigation there and let people see what's over the skies. You know, I feel, I got to, honestly, since my time there, I feel I need to bring people there, and I don't know why. I feel the need that it's like one of those, it's a life-changing moment when you realize you're not here. You know, I mean, all the things that you've been told are just science fiction and fantasy, and, you know, I have always had a belief in the supernatural and the paranormal with a skeptical nature, because I don't believe in every cat fart as an EVP, or, you know, I mean, there's got to be something to it that lets me know what we're doing. But when you see the things I saw, the things flying in the sky, the things blinking at us, a flying creature that there is no explanation for, there is no account of in a book, yeah, it leaves you, you know, and I feel I want people to go because I want people to have that moment of realization that there is so much more in this world than what we're actually able to see and deal for ourselves. That to me is an amazing moment. So I can understand when you said you got that call to try to share this with the world and share these things. And I'm a little curious. Now, I know that you've written books like Strangers from the Skies, Project mm-hmm. Blue Book, mm-hmm. The Rainbow Conspiracy, and UFO Odyssey. Right. What is the most convincing or compelling piece of evidence that you yourself have experienced with UFOs?
I've seen them around the world. I mean, and the same experiences that James. It's so fascinating to be able to see and to, this has been happening to me ever since I was a child. And I learned, of course, that I should keep my mouth shut at certain times as a child because other people weren't seeing the people or the what
right.
I was seeing. I could just, there are so many. I mean, I could just spew on, the time when lecturing and someone gets a call and I'm like you, and I think that's what the activating incident you had was. Okay, you had those lights, those geometric. Now, that is doing something to us. That is, we can't describe them. I tried to articulate and describe what these look like. But, you only know you've seen them, and they must have activated. They must have opened you up in some way. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all these people who have had the experiences. It's the same way with the UFO. When right. you see that, to me, that's like, that's the great symbol in the sky. That's the awakener. That when you look at that and you see it and you see it split into several parts and zip around and then come back together and take off and go up and down and perform at a lake in Peru, my wife Sherry begins interacting. I mean, she's just saying, she's just thinking, well, do this and I'll do this, and again you have to say, what is this? This is a great mystery. I can't really believe extraterrestrial life, yes, but I can't really believe most of what we're seeing is UFOs come from outer space. I mean, I cannot believe, my wife is incredibly powerful, but I can't believe something would come from another world, hover over a lake in Peru and respond to her wishes. I mean, this was something else. This was something she was combining with. This is something.
I don't know, Brad. I've been able to, get up off the couch and change the channel when we can't find the remote when the woman wants me to do that. That's a lot of power a woman wields,
Well, I know that. I know that. And she being a Swedish Chippewa, she's got all kinds of power. So.
I see. So you've had experiences with all of this. How about, I know that you've done some books, and I want to have you back on. You've been a little under the weather, and I appreciate you coming on the show to spend time with us tonight. I'd like to have you on more in depth and talk to you about some of these specific topics, but I just want to kind of whet everybody's appetite with the different things that you've covered.
That's fine.
And you've done books on werewolves and shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been an experience in your life when you've seen something you believe to be a shapeshifter or a werewolf?
Well, I've been blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with shaman. The actual werewolf, the shapeshifter, the skinwalkers, and so forth. This is a whole subject. Again, synchronicity. I have an email just come in not too long ago from a werewolf friend of mine. Now, what do I mean by that? Many of us have the wolf as a totem, and spiritual shape-shifting, or, becoming one or changing the thought and becoming a spiritual shape-shifter, we have the totem, the wolf as totem, other animals as totem.
Mm-hmm.
We have complete identification and can project our consciousness into the form. Now, the actual, growling, when the moon changes, yes, there is lycanthropy. And I have friends who are doctors and work in mental health and say that they cannot get volunteers on the full moon. Many institutions do have lycanthropes, people who believe they are werewolves. They are affected. Their eyes turn bright red when the full moon comes. If they live with their family, the family locks them in a room and keeps them there for the 3 or 4 days, depending on the full moon. This is a mental aberration that's been going on for centuries, and it goes all the way back into our identification with self as a species. And we had evolving, we forget, you know, evolution has not just been, you know, Australopithecus for a time, and then Neanderthal, and then Homo sapiens, and then, I mean, it just didn't happen that way. We had 3 or 4 species going at the same time, and certainly Neanderthal, and I mean, if you look at Neanderthal, certainly under the full moon, that would appear to be an animal. We also have the wolfing. We also have the blooding. We had primitive humans who did identify the wolf. In the Native American tradition, wolf is the great teacher. We would not have survived as a species if we had not created an alliance with the wolf and the canine. Neanderthal did not. They became extinct. We had 140,000 years ago, we blended and became one. We put our social structure according to the wolf. We put our family structure. We put our fidelity according to the wolf. We literally are werewolves, each one of us as a species. Those of us who come from a Scandinavian, a Germanic tradition, wolf is a very common name. Mm-hmm. We know that the warriors, we all had totems. We all had the wolf, right. The bear. And it's not just Native American tribes. So this, you know, is such a multi-layered subject. As far as someone literally becoming a wolf, no. I mean, I have had people claim, and they're going to send me films, but, you know, the film never arrives. But certainly there are levels of shape-shifting that are very real.
All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And if you're in our chat room, which I invite you to do, if you have any questions for our guest, Brad Steiger, please email those questions over to Tim in the chat room, or you can email him at tim@darknessradio.com, and we'll read those questions live on the air when we come back after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Russ Clark. If you're a regular listener of Darkness Radio, by now you have certainly heard my radio commercial regarding my hypnosis products. Well, I'm here today to tell you that these products work. These products have worked for many, many people, including some listeners of Darkness Radio. I stand behind my product 100%. If you give it a try and you find it doesn't work for you, you can always return it to me for 100% of your money back. Plus, I'll pay to ship it back to me. That's how convinced I am this will work for you. In addition to that, you can contact me via email anytime with any questions that you may have. I promise this will work for you. So if you want to quit smoking, lose weight, become less stressed, manage some pain, or beat some insomnia, definitely check out my website at www.powerhypnosis.net or call 866-570-3544 and ask for me personally.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
George Clooney, Carmen Diaz, Oprah, Ellen, George Bush, Diane Pelosi.
What are you doing?
I'm making a list of people I want to tell about charity checks.
Do you know any of those people?
No, but if I can get to them, they might want to tell the public how cool it is to use giving certificates as presents instead of gift certificates.
Giving certificates?
Yeah, you know, they can be used as a donation to any legitimate charity. So the person who gives a charity check gets the tax deduction, and the person who gets one decides where the money goes.
Why don't you just tell people directly about charity checks yourself?
Like anyone would listen to me.
www.charitychecks.us for information about the perfect present.
Well, no, they're not going to listen to you like that. But if you just said that charity checks provides a unique way to turn your gift money into giving money, they might pay attention.
Catchy.
Then you just casually say the web address, charitychecks.us, America's Giving Certificates.
I still think a celebrity endorsement would be more effective.
If you read Tats Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You may have been to the Stanley Hotel before. You may have even taken the ghost tour offered at that famous hotel in Estes Park. But have you ever truly investigated the paranormal there before? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to do so with Sci-Fi TV's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson? Well, now you can. Join us for our paranormal retreat April 1st through the 4th at the historic Stanley Hotel. To find out more about this great adventure, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Hurry, spots are limited and they will fill quickly. That's darknessevents.com.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo-hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening. Welcome back to the show, and we'd like to thank our guest for joining us, Mr. Brad Steiger. And if you'd like more information about Brad, you can check out his website. You can go to his to our site and click on his picture. It'll take you directly there. Or you can go to bradandsherry.com. It's all spelled out BRADANDSHERRY.com. Can get all of his information there, see pictures of him and his lovely bride, read about them, all the different things that they've written about, all the things they do. You can also contact them there. So please feel free to check out their website, and this man is amazing with all the stuff. As a matter of fact, you have a brand new article that I love. I just did an article last year on Houdini for Taps Para magazine, and I saw the article that you did, and what's funny is we're kind of coming at it from different angles. My whole view on the article was how he spent his life making a pain in the butt for this poor woman, and your article seems to be more of how she made a life of making a pain in the butt for poor Houdini to deal with this.
Well, it was both ways.
Right.
I mean, I think my point was how he was a pain in the butt for her. But, you know, that what I wanted to point out,
sure.
And, you know, I was very careful. I've got according to this person, according to that person, because I know that some people are going to champion one side or the other. I've always been fascinated my grandmother was the town librarian, and the library was made up mostly of her personal books, and she had this volume of Houdini's Magic Revealed, and I was going to be another Houdini when I was a child. I mean, I had put together a little magic act, you know, and I was fascinated by magic. I'm fascinated by prestidigitation, but I became more fascinated by real magic. And when I started, I mean, way back, when I went to spiritualist camps, when I went to seances, I was going to be Houdini and expose them. And then, of course, I encountered mediums that I knew how they could do it, but they weren't doing it that way. And that I found that there were genuine mediums with psychic ability, and that's when I altered the emphasis of my research in that regard. So
sure.
I just wanted to say that it's not as clear-cut as people say. Houdini did not really expose Mina. The tragic event, you know, that really destroyed her was this weird thing with the fingerprint, you know, that came up afterwards. But
right.
In terms of the phenomena that she did with the type and with the personnel and with the intellectuals assembled, not that they can't be fooled, and
any
magician would say, oh, the smarter you are, the easier you are to fool. But, you know, if you've studied magic and you know how these things are done, and as these people did, I mean, these were top-of-the-line scientists who were examining her. And I think that, you know, a great deal of her phenomena was completely genuine and that she was not really exposed. So that's... I'm presenting it, trying to present
sure.
it objectively.
Well, we do have a couple questions. We've got about 4 minutes left in the show here, so let's try to handle a couple of the questions we have from our listeners. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay, Amy from the boards asks, she had the shapes, you were talking about shapes earlier showing up when she was 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
when she was trying to sleep, and then she had a vivid dream about Jesus at about 10 or 11.
There you are.
Ever since then, at various times, those little red bunches of dots were showing up, and she's wondering if that means anything significant.
It obviously does. And as I said, the people, I wish she would go to our website and fill out the questionnaire. And, you know, she will see other questions that will explore this. I have no definitive answers. I'm looking for an answer. I'm looking for a pattern profile. Yes, it obviously has significance. As I said, I think it's the activating incident. I think it's the visitors, entities, angels, whatever you want to call them. This is how they turn on the switch.
Okay. Do we have another question in there, Tim?
Yep. Queen Ghost Geek from the boards says she, and forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, she read about Vardor in one of your books?
Vardogar, yeah.
But, okay, and it's happened to her a couple of times. She wanted you to talk a little bit about that and what exactly that phenomenon is.
It's fascinating. And it drove... The Vardog is the all... Okay, it's when... I'll give an example. You're sitting at home, let's say you're reading, your wife, your husband is out, you're expecting him pretty soon, and then you hear the sound, you hear the car drive up, you hear the door open and close, you hear him put his keys into the bowl at the side of the door, and you hear his footsteps, and you look up and say, "Hi, honey," and there's nobody there. Now, the Vardogar, then, or Vardog, is the entity, it is the projection of the person just prior to arrival. Vardog means forerunner, or entity that, you know, comes. It's so natural, it is so, and you get tricked every time. I had this happen so often as a child. Now, interestingly, it seems to happen, it's more common, and Scandinavians and Scots. So, I mean, if, and I'm sure other people have it, but at least all the literature has been in Scandinavian journals on the Vardog, the forerunner, the spiritual forerunner. That would be a good description, the spiritual forerunner.
All right. Well, Brad, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you very much for joining us. I know you're not feeling well. I appreciate you making it on the show for the first hour.
It's my pleasure.
And, I'd love to have both you and Sherry on here in the future, and we'll spend a two-hour show with the two of you and pick your brain on the paranormal and get some insights and thoughts on different topics like this, because I know we have more questions we can't get to this evening. I apologize for that. Time seems to slip away pretty quick from us here. Is there anything
coming up? I enjoyed it very much. And I'm certain that Sherry and I would very much like to come on and spend those 2 hours with you.
Great. Now, you also have a book that's just out. Is that right? I thought I just saw one advertised in Fate magazine. Do you have a newer book out?
I'm having so many of my older books being reissued, and it's just been wonderful. Revelation of the Divine Fire is being reissued. Goldie Press has reissued Monsters Among Us, and then they're going to do Atlantis Rising,
great.
Worlds Before Our Own coming out again. So it's 2007 is really a rebirth year for me.
Well, thank you very much again for joining us here in the darkness on the edge of town, and thank you all for tuning into the show this evening. We're going to be back right after the top of the hour. We're going to be talking to the two founding members of the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. We've got a great show for you lined up. If you have questions, concerns, you're in the Twin Cities area looking for help, you're going to want to make sure to tune in for the next part of the show. We'll be back with more right after the top of the hour.